What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
You know what, Charlie? I'm really getting sick of these Saturday nights I'm spending with you.
Yeah, well, imagine how I must feel.
Yeah, if Jillian wasn't in Chicago, you son of a bitch. You know what I can do? I can fire your ass, but I won't.
Yeah, you can. That will impact my income in no way at all.
You want to hear something funny, though?
I do.
Jowski broke your precious Star Wars pinball machine.
Yes. Yeah, I was right in the middle of a performance on Friday night. I've been doing a House of Dracula on stage, and Friday was the opening night. There's like a good 10-minute stretch where I'm off stage, so I was checking my text, and Jowski says, well, I broke Star Wars. All the balls are stuck in one little corner. Literally, the text that I sent back was, damn you, that was the only good thing in my life.
When he told me he got all the balls stuck in a corner, I had to ask him if that was a love life thing or about the actual pinball machine.
I wished it was one, but no, it was the other.
If that wasn't dumbest thing, let's just get into this week.
Yeah, I guess it kind of was.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, Charlie, this has never happened before. TV has hit a new low, or I should say baseball has. A few weeks ago, the Houston Astros had a 0.0 rating for their game at Cleveland. That means no one was watching. A 0.0 rating has never happened in the history of the Nielsen ratings before.
This is something I actually recently learned about televised baseball. If attendance at the stadium does not reach a minimum level determined by Major League Baseball, then it's either the owner of the team or the owner of the stadium can make the call, do I black out the game so it's not broadcast? So maybe some people will feel like they have to come, or do I just let it be televised? This guy made the decision to let it be televised. Nah, the people will come. It's okay. They're late. We can televise this. It's fine. Nobody watched it.
And this has never happened before. And of course,
fuck, that's ouch.
Of course, the MLB was like, okay, there's something wrong with the ratings. Nielsen checked all their equipment, and they're like, no. We checked. Everybody who had access to this game was watching something else. No one gave a shit to see you lose to Cleveland.
The Houston Astros have become like the fat girl on prom night of Major League Baseball.
I'm into fat girls. You know that. I'd have fucked the fat girl.
But you wouldn't have taken her to prom, Josh.
You don't fucking know me.
I guess I don't.
I just thought that was funny and was worth mentioning for dumbest thing that so few people give a shit about the Houston Astros, they don't even watch them lose on TV anymore.
It's just brutal. It's like Major League, but it's actually kind of funnier, and it's happening in real life.
So now, we're going to move on. We're going to do two subjects here in the first segment, but they're tangentially related. And they don't even taint one another, either.
Oh, I'll be the judge of that, my friend.
Charlie, would you like to tell us, as a pothead, what the hell Colorado is thinking? Because Colorado has made pot legal, but they've made it illegal to do in public. Can you tell me what Colorado is thinking with this?
Yes, I think that this whole ordinance, which would give police probable cause to search your immediate belongings if they smell pot within the vicinity. Like if it can be smelled by a neighboring property, that's probable cause. Now, what makes me think this is, are you ready for an awesome pun, a smokescreen?
Zing!
I was reading the article that you sent me, and there's a quote from Mayor Michael Hancock. Is a really good mayor. Like, I don't live in Denver, but I spend a lot of time up there, and if I did live there, I would have voted for this guy. His campaign was really sort of progressive, which makes me think he's trying to make a big show of condemning public consumption of marijuana, but still kind of supporting it. And my proof is in this quote here. This is what he said in a press conference about the ordinance. Your activities should not pervade others' peace and ability to enjoy, said Denver Mayor Michael Hancock. Marijuana is one of those elements that can be quite pervasive and invasive. I shouldn't have to smell your activities from your backyard. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being cynical. But wouldn't that have made sense if he said, I shouldn't have to smell your activities from my backyard?
Yeah.
That makes me think that Mayor Michael Hancock was stoned out of his ass when he said that.
Well, I'm thinking maybe he's kind of saying, hey, I'm walking to the corner store to buy a Fody and a scratcher. As I walk by, I smell pot. It distracts me. I get hit by a drunk driver. and then I lose my leg, and then I become a homeless man with irritable bowel syndrome, and it's all because I smelled pot coming out of your yard.
And then a butterfly in Tokyo flaps its wings.
But I mean, what does that actually mean? Because first of all, what does that actually mean if police can search your possessions, Charlie? If pot is legal, what are they searching for? Or is it just one of those invasive, we're going to search you because it makes you feel uncomfortable because we don't agree that pot is legal, so we need to somehow harass you as the citizen?
See, that's the thing. It's not even about pot. It's not even about it being pot, because pot is legal. They can't write you a ticket for having pot, but they can write you the same kind of ticket it would be for public drunkenness.
Now, we discussed this a while ago when they first instituted the new law of legalizing it. Have they determined yet in Colorado what the legal THC limit is yet? I have not read a thing on that yet.
I don't think they have determined it yet. Last time I read about it was when we were talking about it on the show, and at that point they were saying it was going to be a gram, which to put it in some kind of perspective would be like $10 worth of marijuana.
I've seen drunk people. I've seen high people. I think drunk people are a lot more dangerous. High people tend to just sit around, laugh a lot, and watch SpongeBob, don't they? So I don't understand the whole point of this law, that it's legal, but we get to harass you if you do it. This seems to me like a reach around to the law itself, doesn't it?
It kind of is. I mean, it's sort of making a compromise. You know, like you had to throw a couple of battles in order to win the war. You know what I mean? And I just think the line is getting kind of hazy. How much compromise is too compromise? Why bother to legalize it if you're going to do all this shit? If you just, you know, while it was illegal, you know, there was at least one guy around that seemed to have some. So it doesn't really matter whether it's legal or not. You know what I mean?
Well, Councilman Chris Nevitt said, and I'm quoting here, "If you are smoking marijuana in a park, we will chase you off. If thousands of people are making a statement one day a year, we have to think that through. This is in a different category than ordinary offenses." Right there, that councilman is calling it an offense.
Right.
What part of legal is he not getting?
I don't know. It's just hard to make sense of it, because there was no laws like this in Denver prior to marijuana becoming legal last November.
In a roundabout way, I agree with that, because why would you need to make a law making something illegal that's already illegal? It would be redundant.
Well, I mean, there were always laws in place, like how much is a misdemeanor and how much is a felony amount, like in terms of possession and stuff. There are always laws in place, but it just seems like there's twice as much energy going into fucking with it once it becomes legal. Does not make any sense.
Which is why, to me, it seems like the legislature of Denver really hates this law and is just going to try and fuck it up. It's like one of those things like, you know what? We have to let you do this, but we're not going to make it easy on you.
I mean, we were a blue state in the last election, but that shit can only take you so far.
Is it funny that Denver is also known as the Mile High City?
The irony is not lost on me, sir.
I just didn't know if you noticed that or not.
It makes John Denver's death funny again.
Well, sticking with the same kind of substance abuse issue, I think you would agree, and I know you've said it, that you think, you know, you've made your funny joke about how potheads are the safest person on the road because they're the one doing 7 miles an hour and obeying every traffic law. We've established that. But what about drunk driving? I think drunk driving is far more dangerous. It's far more pervasive. And there's a new legal case that's hitting the streets that's kind of disturbing me, Charlie. When you kill somebody in a car accident when you're intoxicated, you are normally charged with manslaughter.
Yes, vehicular manslaughter.
Now, there are three different cases where you could say this is all due to the prosecution overreaching. Instead of being charged with manslaughter, the prosecution in three separate cases charged the defendants with murder. Now, the legal definition of murder has to be malice aforethought, which means you had to have some sort of malice to kill these people. All three people got convicted. All three of them, get to remember, these are separate cases.
Right.
All three of them are appealing, saying drinking and driving has no malice, therefore we legally cannot be guilty of murder. And because these DAs did not ask for manslaughter, either they're charged with murder or they're charged with nothing. And they get
right.
And they get completely acquitted. So basically, their excuse is, I was too drunk to be found guilty of murder.
it actually holds a little bit of fucking water. I mean, when you think about it, it makes perfect sense.
Legally, but morally, yeah. Is that not stupid? Because to me, there is malice aforethought. That you know, if you drink, you get behind the wheel, that there is a likelihood you will be killing someone. You know this. So to me, that is malice.
There are a lot of cases like that. There are other cases, though, when you are so completely drunk that you are blacked out. Now, it's difficult to describe
but
because
you chose
you
to get that drunk.
Drank.
But, Charlie, you chose to get that drunk, so it's still on you.
It's definitely on you. It's definitely the fault of the driver in any case. I'm not, like, saying that it isn't. I'm just saying when it gets to malice aforethought, it does get questionable. Because if you were blacked out, like, you can pass a lie detector saying, I had no intentions of running these people over. I don't even know them. That completely wipes away malice aforethought.
So,
because you can't have, like, homicidal malice towards someone that you don't know.
Then, okay, what about, I'm just putting a hypothetical out here.
Okay.
You get really drunk. You think you're at your house, but you're at your neighbor's house. You break into your neighbor's house thinking it's your house. They come home and you stab them to death with a kitchen knife. Is that not murder or is that manslaughter? I don't see any difference here. You chose
that,
to get so drunk. To me, you chose to get so drunk that you, intentionally or not, gave up your capacity to consent to anything.
Okay, I can kind of see that. But in the scenario that you painted with a drunk breaking into his neighbor's house, that would be murder because the drunk would not be able to prove that the people he killed had intentions on killing him. They were just walking into their own house.
And how is that different on the road? If they're coming in their lane and the drunk guy's coming straight at them, if I don't run into them, they're going to run into me. How is the situation any different?
Because the guilty party in the drunk scenario that you painted, the drunk is, let's see here. Damn it, this made sense in my head. Hang on, this is getting really confusing, man. Ah, shit, it's gone. Trust me, it was an impeccable argument.
You know, people have actually tried to use excuses like this sometimes before. There was a case, it was actually dramatized, but it was based on a true case, in the very first episode of Homicide: Life on the Street, where a guy hit a girl while drunk, and he was driving, and he didn't remember doing it. And they had all the physical evidence, and his defense was, I have no knowledge of doing it, therefore I didn't mean to do it, therefore I'm not guilty. I was too drunk to be held accountable for my actions. And my thought on that is, but you got drunk on purpose. It'd be one thing if you're having like one of those Ambien side effect things where, you know, you didn't know it was going to fuck you up like this. When you get drunk, you know the possible side effects. Therefore, I feel you are held accountable for whatever you do in that state.
See, I agree with that. This is another really weird gray area within the law. I mean, I think that whether you're conscious of what you're doing or if you're completely blacked out for whatever reason, if you kill another human being, then it is murder because you have murdered that human being. I don't know. It's weird because you can't really establish malice aforethought. It's those words in the definition of murder that throw this kind of circumstance completely out of whack.
But see, to me, the malice aforethought is that you know, even if it's unconscious, even if it's just in the back of your brain, you know that if I go and get blitzed tonight and I go and get behind the wheel of my car, there's the chance I will kill someone. That to me equals forethought.
Okay, so then you then recognize that there's a chance anyone else at this bar could also kill someone. So unless you walk around taking all their keys, which you've probably not been to many bars, but that kind of behavior is not welcome, I'll say.
That kind of behavior is going to get your ass killed.
Pretty much. So unless you walk around taking everyone's keys, then are you aiding and abetting at that point? Like I told you, man, gray ass area in the law.
Which is why I think this is such a dangerous case. I'm consolidating these three things into a single one.
It's a dangerous precedent that these cases are setting.
Yeah, because let's say for the sake of argument, all three people get acquitted of the murder because they can only be charged with murder, which requires the malice aforethought. Let's say that happens. Then you're basically opening the door to, I was too drunk to be guilty of anything. Being too drunk will now be a defense that it's not my fault. I was too drunk, won't it?
Yes, this is setting a very, very ugly example. I mean, I think this could get really bad really quick if they are acquitted. Jesus Christ, I hope they're not acquitted.
And that's what I'm afraid of. That's what I'm afraid of is I was too drunk to be held accountable for my actions. I mean, it's just like on a non-fatal level. I grew up with an alcoholic father. He would get drunk and then say and do all these things and be all sorry the next day. That didn't mean all the things he said and did didn't happen.
Absolutely true.
And then that's in a non-fatal incident. You know, you fucked these people's, the family, the survivors' family up. You destroyed their lives. And now you're going, not my fault. I was too drunk. Not my fault. And see, that to me is the most dangerous part of this, Charlie, is the fact that they're saying, the reason I did it is the reason I can't be found guilty of it. Isn't that a double entendre?
It's just ugly.
My being drunk is the reason I committed this crime, but I was drunk, so I can't be charged with this crime.
It's
like a free pass for crime.
That's like Alanis Morissette getting pregnant on a pull-out couch.
Who do you think is at fault in this particular case? I mean, obviously, the guilt that they did it is not a question for these three drunk drivers. Do you think the prosecutors are at fault for not including manslaughter and overreaching because they wanted the higher rate of the higher conviction on their record? Do you think that this is technically the prosecutor's fault?
I think you're right. The fault of the crime, there's no question about that. Those people committed that crime that they are being accused of, and they should be punished for it. The reason why there's a too good of a chance that they're going to walk is the fault of the prosecution. It's their fault for not preparing a better charge, and it is fault of whoever the defense attorney sold his soul to, which allowed him to exploit that loophole.
I do blame the prosecutor in this. He overreached, the multiple prosecutors overreached, and that is what's going to possibly rewrite the laws in America. I hope the judges in these cases, I don't know where I fall on this. I hope the judges follow the law as they're supposed to, but I also hope they realize by doing that, they might be making things 10 times worse. So I'm like you, I don't know if I want them to follow the law because, as you pointed out, legally the law might not apply, but by doing so, you're fucking up the entire legal system.
Which is why I hope that a very skilled team of vigilantes or any specialists in the street justice area will be prepared to do the right thing if they need to. I will say no more than that.
On that note, we're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Went to a party, and it's all night. Beers and decided up a fight. Well, I'm chilling, you're out of luck. I'm rolling down the stairs, too drunk to fuck. I'm too drunk to fuck. You're too drunk to fuck. Too drunk to fuck. I'm too drunk, too drunk, too drunk to fuck. I like the stories. I love the gun. Shoot an advertisement. I love the world of fun. Right in my room. Wish you were dead. You fall like a baby in a razor head. I'm too drunk to fuck. I'm too drunk to fuck. Too drunk to fuck. It's all I need right now. Too drunk to fuck. You took a run to fuck. Too drunk to fuck. I said it's got to hit me the cold. Too drunk to fuck. I've got a draw. head. It makes it worse. Take out your fucking retainer and put it in your purse. If you drive the bus, you drink the road the bus. You drive the bus. It's all I need right now. All right, babe. I'm feeling like an ashley pot. All right, hey. And now I got diarrhea to drive the bus. Yeah, yeah.
All right, folks, I'm loaded up with my Jack and Coke. I'm Hart D. Fisher. We are now in the heart attack section of What the Fuck. And with me, of course, is Josh motherfucking Hadley.
I'm everywhere. You can't escape.
You're everywhere.
You can't escape me, motherfuckers.
Josh, you're everywhere. Just like our fucking corruption and spying and heart attack. If you guys have not heard it, you should listen because we discuss at length about the young girl down in Florida who killed herself over cyberbullying and the criminal charges that they're trying to charge the young children who cyberbullied her. We talked about a lot about the spying going on at Google because it's now out in the open. Here's the thing. Google is now officially telling you anyone who uses Gmail, they're reading your mail. They're data mining your mail. And what that
you
means
have no
is
no expectation of privacy.
They're reading it, which means if you use Google Mail, it's not private, guys. It's open. So if you are writing love letters to your gay cousin, Google has that information now. It's in their computer storage. So if you had a secret love affair on your wife or your husband, that is now exposed and in their computers waiting for the chance to use it to exploit you. These things are happening right now all around the country. Now, in my mind, if Google is spying on everybody, and we already know they are because we talked about how they were banned from doing their street maps in Germany. And why were they banned from doing their street mapping in Germany? Because Google was driving their vans around with special computer software that picked up all the information from all the wireless networks, and they were all used by Google. They sucked up as many passwords, bank words, email passwords, all of it, anything they could fucking get. And the guy who created that software took the fifth when charges came up with the government. Now, why aren't we seeing these guys in jail for wiretap? Perhaps it's because, I don't know, maybe it's because the CIA has been funding and manipulating the U.S. news media since 1950s. They started with a secret Central Intelligence Agency campaign to influence domestic, which is us, and foreign media called Operation Mockingbird. This is real, guys. This isn't conspiracy talk. This shit is fucking real. Operation Mockingbird, CIA media control program. And now, if we go up from the 50s to a report published in 1976 for Congress, they say the CIA currently maintains a network of several hundred foreign individuals around the world who provide intelligence for the CIA and at times attempt to influence opinion through the use of covert propaganda. These individuals provide the CIA with direct access to newspapers and periodicals, scores of press services and news agencies, radio and television stations, commercial book publishers, and other foreign media outlets. That's from Congress in 1976, guys. Knowing the CIA is doing this, I want you, the listeners at home, to understand that there are just six media companies that control 90% of what we read, watch, and listen to. That's including news, radio, and movies. According to the Frugal Dad infographic from 2011, the big six are GE, News Corporation, Disney, Viacom, Time Warner, and CBS. In other words, it might seem like a wide variety of choices to consumers, but media consolidation over the years has actually given way to an illusion of choice. You don't have choice. Fox won the right to lie on their news broadcast. CNN, Fox, and NBC, their owners, have spent $44 million on lobbying. If your vote did not count, ladies and gentlemen, why would mainstream media spend $44 million on lobbying, and who gets elected?
Have you ever heard of a commentator named Michael Parenti?
No.
He's very much not, I don't think at the time he made this great speech called The Hidden Ideology of the Mass Media. It's an over an hour long, so I can't play it, unfortunately. But it basically says that going from, I think he started charting it in the 70s, there were something like 100 different media outlets with newspaper, TV, radio, etc. And then now, when he gave this speech, was like 98 or 2000, they were down to 12. And he said in the next couple of years, they'll be down to 7 or 8. So it is all about the hidden ideology of the mass media. Everyone goes, oh, you know, this channel said this and this channel has this belief. They all have the same parent company, guys. They're all pushing the same belief, which, as Hart put it, you have the illusion of freedom. You have the illusion of choice when, in fact, you're all drinking from the same pool. The same pool that the media, that the corporate media has pissed in. It's the same pool you all drink from.
Yeah. Just like in Crestwood, where your politicians fed you poison so they could tell you it's a great place to live because your cost of living is so low. Well, guess what, guys? It ain't over. None of this is over, okay? One of the things that we're here for is to talk about what's bothering us. And what we're seeing right now is, and I think this quote from Malcolm X sums it up the best. If you're not careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing, which I think is exactly what Fox News does. Or another way to look at it is very simply, the media, it's the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent seem guilty and to make the guilty seem innocent. And that's their power. I'm a guy who can tell you this because I did a book about Jeffrey Dahmer, and they lied about why I did it. They lied about who I was. I was a straight-A honor roll kid who went to a special school for smart kids. And the media made me seem like a dumb thug who fucking worships Satan and fucking is trying to exploit the evils of Jeffrey Dahmer, when instead I was talking about what the media was doing and how they were exploiting Jeffrey Dahmer.
I saw it as you were trying to shine a light on a subject that most people would wish to remain in the dark.
Yeah, and that's true. And I think you guys should be checking out demandprogress.org. You definitely want to check out you'vebeenowned.org because the corporations are trying to make it so you can't resell stuff. They want to make it so you can't resell your computer on eBay. They're trying to make it so you can't for your Blu-rays. They want to make it so you don't own a fucking thing, these scumbags. So folks, we got to get off our ass. We got to start doing something. The time is ripe. When you look back at the last 100 years, at the last turn of the century, we had major problems just like we got right now. At the turn of the last century, same thing. We had this artificial democracy that really wasn't a democracy. It was completely bought out. It was completely owned by robber barons. It was completely owned by the railroad owners. And they did what they want. Yeah, to a certain degree, it definitely is. And we still have a choice in that. There's so many of us, and our voices are so loud when we get together. You are far more powerful than you know, guys. You are far stronger than you know, guys. Your vote is far more important than you know. Remember that. You are stronger than they tell you. You are better than they tell you. Do you need Twitter? You can live without it. You can live without your smartphone. And I think someday soon, we're going to get to that point where we realize, I don't need that chain around my neck. Because you know what? When I had a crazy bitch girlfriend who harassed the fuck out of me nonstop, I didn't have a cell phone. And I flat out told her, I'm not going to get a leash. You're not going to be able to yank me on this leash. So I never got a cell phone until I got rid of that crazy broad. That's all I got to say. I'm Hart Fisher. You've been listening to Hart Attack. Find me on Twitter, Hart_Fisher.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go out?
You've
got to
get mad.
67. I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
We're not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. But first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Charlie, you're a comic book fan. You know who Neil Gaiman is, right?
I do.
You a fan?
I'm not really familiar with Neil Gaiman. More as an artist, less as a writer. But I've not read any of his complete works, but I'm familiar with him.
Okay, I'm 50-50 on him. I don't think he's a bad writer in the least, so I'm not insulting the guy. You guys can put the pitchforks and torches away. Save that for something else. I'm sure I'll say something. I just don't. He's not for me. You know what I mean? He's just not for me.
Someone you can tell, like, is good at what he does, just not your cup of tea.
It's like Robert Rodriguez. I would never say that Robert Rodriguez is a bad filmmaker. But at the same time, I only like Grindhouse, Machete, and Sin City. I really don't like anything else the man has ever made, so...
Which is not a good percentage.
No, it's not, but I would never say that the things he made that I didn't like were poorly made. Turns out that Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere, some books he wrote in the 90s, Neverwhere is being taken off the shelves in New Mexico because they are, quote, the books are being called, quote, inappropriate for teenagers. Now, I've never read these particular books, but knowing Neil Gaiman, I don't think they're inappropriate. He doesn't write porn.
I don't think anything is inappropriate for teenagers. Teenagers think about sex way more than anyone else that's alive. You're not going to offend a teenager. Like, you know, in the age of the internet, you're not protecting them from anything.
And see, what happened was they got this taken off of the school library, and the books are not allowed in school. So you can't go buy one of these at the local Barnes & Noble and bring it to school. Not happening. Now, a local mother named Nancy Wilmot was so offended when she found her kid reading this. I'm going to quote her here. "I cannot read this to you and put it on the news. It's too inappropriate. It's that bad." Now, obviously, I don't know what part she thinks or if she thinks the entire thing is this. I'm not sure. Even as a teenager, let's say 16. Let's say you're 16. You're old enough to drive. You're old enough to be charged as an adult in a crime.
Yes.
Should you not be able to decide what you read? And by that, I mean, yes, Nancy Wilmette can absolutely decide what her children read. I have no issue with that. That's called being a parent. Is it her right to decide that all the kids in school do not get to read Neverwhere?
100% no. It's not her right. That has always been a bone of contention with me because I was in high school in the mid-90s. Beavis and Butthead was huge, especially in the town where I grew up. And when all these cancellation rallies were taking place and all these people were on the news just every day, every major news program.
I remember that stuff, yeah.
Jesus, I mean, they were on Oprah, for cock's sake. Every day on the news was another parent saying that no one should be allowed to watch it because her cross-eyed retarded kid did something bad after watching it.
Charlie, this goes back to all these different shows. Do you remember Friday the 13th, the series, and Freddy's Nightmares?
Yes.
In the late 80s? Both of those were tied for the number one target for the Parents Television Resource Council. That basically, these shows were considered so inappropriate for kids, even adults should not be able to see them. They didn't want them put on at a later time. They said these shows need to leave the airwaves for good, because kids can see them, and these are not TV shows, both of which were first-run syndication.
Which is just fundamentalist horseshit.
Yes. And with Freddy's Nightmares case, that wasn't really a factor in the cancellation, because that show was canceled before it ever went on the air.
Oh, it was dog shit. I don't think anyone's here to argue that point. It was bad.
But I mean, it had a guaranteed two-season run, so
yeah.
The controversy had nothing to do with that. But the controversy did unfortunately get Friday the 13th, the series, canceled after the episode Hate on the Radio in the third season, where a Klan member gets a cursed radio, goes back in time, and doesn't try and stop his father from killing a black right activist, but tries to help his father not get caught doing it. That was considered so despicable that they said all of our efforts are behind getting Friday the 13th, the series, off the air.
What these people tend to forget was that it was a series based on Friday the 13th.
Well,
horrible shit happens in those movies. Horrible shit's going to happen on a TV show based on those movies.
TV show was actually quite good, too.
But it wasn't bad. It was better than Freddy's Nightmares, I'll tell you that.
Well, because it actually tried, for one thing. Here's the part that really bugs me. I'm going to quote from Wilmot again. Quoting, "I trusted the school district to pick proper material, and this is not. A parent can't read a 400-page book to find out if it's appropriate. You rely on your school to do that for you." Did Wilmette just admit that she was not being a parent and she thought it was the school's responsibility to be a parent?
Ouch.
Did she just admit that it's the school's responsibility to parent her kid?
There are no two ways about that quote.
And I didn't take anything out of context. I read that quote as it is. So this is the thing that's bothering me so much. You don't like it. Don't let your kid read it. Fine. Fair enough. Even if you want to go the helicopter parent route and go to the principal and say, I don't want anyone else loaning this to my student. I don't want them reading it in the library. That to me is ridiculous. But as a mom, that's kind of her right, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, kind of overbearing a little bit.
On the other hand,
it's every parent's choice, though.
Exactly. On the other hand, she is saying, hey, all of the rest of you parents, your kids don't get to read it either. And that is just pissing me off.
Yes. That's self-righteous bullshit. I don't like that. That's the same as, like, missionaries who help all the backward countries out there who don't have Jesus. It's just, it's insulting to everybody. I mean, there is no winner. Because, first of all, it's Neil Gaiman. Nothing is inappropriate that it's going to warp a developing mind.
This isn't Alan Moore here.
No, it's not.
Alan Moore, okay, if this was an Alan Moore story, depending on the story, I could maybe go,
Okay, maybe wait till they're 18 for Swamp Thing. But other than that.
Or even Lost Girls. That was just this side of fucking porn, wasn't it?
Yeah, kind of. But anyway, we're splitting hairs here. It's nothing that you need to take it upon yourself to protect everybody from, because you're pushing your beliefs on other parents, saying, well, I don't want to run the risk of you deciding to let your kid read a book, so fuck you.
And isn't that kind of the same thing? And I don't know if this Nancy Wilmette is religious or not, so I'm not trying to...
I'm gonna just take a guess and say probably.
I'm going to guess that too, but the article I've got doesn't mention it. But isn't that the same thing that the religious folk are always complaining about? The schools are pushing their beliefs on my students, and then they're always the ones trying to push their beliefs on the school. Am I the only one that finds that kind of funny?
Oh, man.
Well, and then, natural segue into religion, Glenn Beck has doubled down on his religious insanity. Now remember, this is the man who cries on the air. This is the man who claims he talks to God. Now he says, if your kids do not believe in God, you should physically beat them until they do. Am I the only one that sees this as very, very dangerous?
If you did that to a dog, Sarah McLachlan would be all over your ass.
Oh, don't make me think of that fucking commercial. It always makes me cry.
Right? Me too. It's fucking heartbreaking. But that's what you get when you just physically impose your wacky ass beliefs on anyone who's weaker than you. And since children are an easy group when it comes to that, let's go after them.
And I'm going to quote here, okay? Well, they're going to cry. It'll hurt their feelings. Push them, because if you don't do it now, it's going to get much worse when they're pushed and they're shoved and they're shot. I don't know where that's coming from, but
what?
Push them, teach them. They need to know the truth. And they need to be pushed up against the wall once in a while so they know they can defend themselves. They know they can survive. They don't turn around and run like little girls crying at the drop of a hat. Push them! Now,
Jesus.
You could say, well, he meant push them towards religion, not physically push them. But
you could say that.
Yeah, you could. But then later on, he suggests... Remember that old saying, spare the rod, spoil the child? He says, make sure you do not spare the rod. He's talking about child abuse. He's basically saying, beat the shit out of your kids until they believe in God.
That's how you make the worst kinds of any religious people.
I think that's how you make Westboro Baptist Church people.
Yes, that's where you get Westboro Baptist Church. That's where you get the Montana militia. That's where you get the Taliban. That's where you get Al-Qaeda. That's where all the zealotry in the world comes from that just is the biggest killer of any... Oh, my God. Religious zealotry is the most dangerous thing that has ever happened to this country or any other country in the entire world.
Isn't it kind of funny, religious zealotry, and that's totally the right word for it, that religious zealotry... And indoctrination of the youth is the one thing that Glenn Beck is constantly warning about, that he's warning that the liberals will indoctrinate your kids. Remember when Obama gave that televised speech to all of the nation's schools when he first got elected. He called it indoctrination to socialism.
Yeah. I think he even went with re-education.
Yes. Isn't he kind of asking for the exact same thing, but with his belief?
Yeah, well, it's in the name of God.
It's hypocrisy. It's
most hypocrisy is in the name of God, though.
And fundamentalist Christian parents, within a 10-year span, one out of every 10 fundamentalist Christian parents ends up beating their children to death in the name of God.
Yes. And anyone who has ever committed a crime in the name of religion, I want at least one person to be able to provide me with notarized and documented proof that they have never, ever eaten meat on a Friday. Until one of them can do that, then you can all fuck off.
Hey, what about resting on the Sabbath? You think they always take Sunday off? And then how does that technically work? As soon as it flips from midnight to 12:01, then once it becomes Monday, so then after that, are you able to actually go to work? How does that actually work? Is it a 24-hour day? Is it just kind of, it doesn't turn into not Sunday until I wake up? How does that work?
Try doing that shit on a transcontinental flight. That is confusing.
So to me, this is, okay, Glenn Beck is obvious. He went off. Okay, let's put it this way. When Fox News fires you for being too crazy, that should be an indicator that you're fucking crazy, isn't it?
That's a big old alarm bell.
When Fox fucking News says, dude, you need to back off. You're a little crazy. You're a lot crazy, okay? Now, Glenn Beck has been sliding farther and farther into crazy town, yet he makes more and more money every year. I'm asking you this honestly, not in a joking way. Why do these nutballs like Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly and Alex Jones, why do they have such a foothold in America? Why do they command so much of America's population to them when they're clearly nuts?
It's because there's more of them than there are of us, Josh. It's because guys like that can tap into the true face of America, the ones that outnumber the thinkers and the rational people. For every rational thinker, there are 10 just mouth-breathing reactionaries waiting for any Manchurian candidate-style trigger word that will let them release some of the hate inside that they're using religion as a funnel for.
You really think we're that far gone as a country that they outnumber us to the point where Alex Jones is a millionaire? Glenn Beck, I think, made $34 million in the first half of last year. And yet here we are doing this show where I'm hardly rational, but I'm rational compared to them. I'm about to lose my car. Is that fair?
It's not fair. It's 100% accurate, but it's not fair. Last time I checked, fair didn't fucking count for a whole lot.
We've been on a dangerous slide. I think this Glenn Beck thing is just the latest example of just how far we've slid. Because I remember when I was in high school. Remember, I graduated high school in 93, Charlie. I remember when I was in high school, Rush Limbaugh still had his TV show. I thought the Rush Limbaugh TV show was so far gone that it had already become parody. That is some tame shit compared to where we are now, isn't it?
That's practically a lighthearted romp compared to some of the shit that happens now.
It's almost like Paddy Chayefsky's Network. He wrote that as a satire of how bad things could, in his words, never actually get. And yet, with the exception of murdering someone on the air because of low ratings, everything in that movie's happened, hasn't it? What is with this slide, Charlie? I mean, do you think, I mean, it can't be because of the economy being bad that people are gravitating towards these crazies, because these crazies are the reason the economy is so bad. So are these two things not interconnected, or are they so interconnected that they're feeding off one another like an Ouroboros?
They're kind of feeding off one another. I mean, I don't know when it started, and I don't know when it's going to stop, but I mean, our just values as a society are just plummeting, like with some regularity, just at a fucking alarming rate. I mean, we've, because of loopholes in the law like the ones we talked about earlier, and because of just the blind surrender that religion offers some people. Nobody wants to think for themselves anymore. People are threatened by those that do think for themselves. The law is going to cause us to eat ourselves to death, and religion is going to cause us to shit ourselves out and then re-eat our self-shit that we ate before.
I don't know if I could have summed it up more eloquently than that. On that note, where can we find Charlie Shit Eater McMullen?
That one's got legs, kid. You can find me here, pretty much, 1201beyond.com. You can find me at geekjuicemedia.com, Twitface and Booker and whatever.
Twitface and Booker, huh?
Yeah.
That actually sounds like a bad NBC sitcom.
Twitface and Booker, da-da-da-da-da.
And you can find me at the aforementioned 1201beyond.com and the aforementioned geekjuicemedia.com, and you can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Have a good night, guys. Baby was a black sheep.
Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.